Steven, are you there?
I'm sorry. I keep trying to take Phyllis and Bob in the bathroom out of my mind, and it's taking all my energy. I didn't even realize we were recording.
That's all you think about? That's it?
Just, I'm trying not to.
Mm-hmm. Their adult playtime.
In the handicap bathroom, like...
That's where there's room, and no one's going to walk in on you. It's convenient.
And handrails, if you need those.
Oh, whoa. You said it. You said it. You've thought about this. That's crazy. You are thinking about it a lot, see?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, happy Valentine's Day.
It's Valentine's Day all over again. We are talking about the episode Blood Drive, which originally aired on March 5th, 2009, a little past Valentine's Day. Just like we're a little past Valentine's Day right now. So that's fine. It works. And yeah, there's a blood drive going on. I like how they kind of looped that into the Valentine's Day episode. Very romantic and blood and heart.
Yes.
Related.
It's great. Yeah, I like this pairing. And it's, I was thinking about this. I don't think I've ever worked anywhere with like a blood drive van rolled up, but I've never worked in a big office park either. So I guess that makes sense. Like you got multiple companies, you got a lot of people, but I don't know. I mean, I've given blood, but I've never like done it in a van.
Yeah, I don't think I've done it in a van either.
That's what she said.
Sorry. I can't not think of Phyllis and Bob now with everything. So, no, I've never done it in a van, but I do remember in like high school, they would come to the gym and set up blood drive stuff.
Really? Like as a student? Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the only time I've given blood was as a student twice.
It's a good thing if you can do it.
I always forget that you can do it.
Yeah. You can do it at home if you get the right stuff.
Oh man, that's intense. The home. Oh, that's the where everything's going now. Home blood drives.
If just... Dwight believed in giving blood, which I'm sure he doesn't. Well, he does give blood.
Having trouble finding a vein?
Yeah, a little.
How about now?
I would think that he would not want to do it, but I don't know. But he probably has a kit. He could do it. He could do it himself. And he would bring his own blood in and, like, drop it off.
That's exactly what we need is people filling bags with blood and walking around with them and handing it off. Yeah, that'll be fine.
Well, you just want a good Ziploc bag. You know, not like one of those, like, store brand ones. You want the real
deal. The double lock. Yeah, yes. The one where, like, the seal changes color.
Yes. Yellow and blue makes green.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're the artist. Is yellow and blue make green?
Yeah.
Good. I dropped out of art school. Just like Pam. Heyo.
Oh, so many parallels.
Okay.
And I just drew my own blood and it's waiting downstairs to be shipped out. So there we go. Sorry. Wow. I don't know where that came from. I was trying.
Upsetting.
That was bad. Just move on.
Okay.
Cold open.
Yes.
We have a cold open where Pam is trying to stop a phone salesman from rigging up, I don't know what they, hooking up a new phone system that would essentially make her job obsolete.
They have new phone systems now that can ring directly to a salesman, or someone presses star and they go to accounting, basically 95% of my job. But I'd like to see a machine that puts out candy for everyone. Vending machine.
I like how Jim comes to her rescue, and she keeps on saying that Michael Scott is not in, and then he can't possibly take one of these meetings. And I love when she opens up the planner and it's totally empty and the guy's like craning his neck to see over the edge of the desk, and he completely see that the book is empty, and she's like, oh, I don't know, they're just so busy. But Jim comes up and he introduces himself as Michael, and of course at that moment Michael hears all the commotion and comes out of his office. And he just rolls with it. Michael is very into getting involved in any kind of joke that's happening. And Jim plays it in the perfect way that is like, oh, this funny thing is happening. You better roll with it or you're bad at improv. Like, essentially, that's what they're saying. And they do. And then they end up just making a whole bunch of nonsense noises and scaring the salesman away.
Hey!
Hey!
Where'd we go?
Hey! What was that?
That was funny.
That was funny. Let's go do it to somebody else.
It's a fantastic cold open. It really is good.
Because it plays perfectly on the Michael Scott character and everything that he loves and loves to do and get involved with. And normally you'd be like, that's such a dumb distraction. But for these characters, it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So the main part of this episode, we have the blood drive, and we have the B plot of Pam and Jim going out to lunch with the Vances. So this episode, I find Michael in this episode so sympathetic and so wonderful and a little bit heartbreaking, but this is like the most normal Michael episode I've almost ever seen. You know, like there's little things here and there. Of course, you have to sprinkle in a little bit Michael insanity here and there, but he plays it so cool most of the time because I think he's just sad and he can't like act in the exuberant way that he normally does.
Yeah, I was really struck that when he goes into the blood van, as it's known, that he totally hits it off with that woman.
Could you distract me for a second? Just talk about things that don't have blood in them.
Well, okay. Bags.
What? That,
sorry, that was bad.
That was me.
A hat.
A hat.
A hat with no blood in it?
That is full of soup.
You're cute.
I mean, he is cool and funny and he's just like is on his game, right? Which makes the whole thing sadder, is that he really had a shot. You know, sometimes like with Jan or with other women, like you see Michael like being really cringy and date Mike, nice to meet me, that whole vibe.
Yes, I was exactly thinking of date Mike. He didn't turn it on at all. No date Mike.
Yeah, he was totally cool and like totally had a shot. And then the episode unfolds and he faints because he hasn't eaten in 3 days, which is kind of funny. But yeah, it's a very sympathetic episode towards Michael. And I like that the other members of the Dunder Mifflin staff are tuned into that, right? They're kind to him. They sympathize with him. And I don't know, it's something about it. You know, we talk about how many episodes have a redeeming Michael moment. This feels like a redeeming Michael episode. And coming on the heels of being at Holly's desk and taking that letter and cutting the sleeve off her sweater in a creepy way, like this feels like a really nice pairing to that. Like we know, we're reminded how much he's hurting, and then we see this like potential other future be taken away from him. It's just a very nice flow between the episodes, I think.
Yeah, because as it's mentioned multiple times in the episode, it's been 4 months since he's been with Holly. He, like you just said, he just read that email. So he kind of has like that weird mix of hope, but still heartbreak that he has. And he is faced with this holiday that is putting a lot of that right up front into his face.
Just about everybody in this office is single right now, including me. And everyone is experiencing an incredible amount of emotional pain, especially me, because of my great capacity for emotion. And it is my first Valentine's Day since Holly. So I think that I am well qualified to understand that these people need to be protected from having love shoved into their faces.
It's almost like he needs to be a little sad to be normal. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say it that way, but that's how this episode is making it feel, that when he's distracted by something else, he isn't just like letting everything run away with itself when he's interacting with other people. And that's why he was able to kind of do a good job talking to this woman in the blood van. And
yeah,
it's just, I don't know. This episode for me it's hard to watch because I don't like to see Michael hurting. Mm-hmm. But like you said, it is really nice to see the other members of the office kind of still be there and support him. Even people like Oscar, who, as we saw in the roast, everyone was just absolutely obliterating Michael with the things that they said about him. But now we kind of see the kinder side of everybody, and they're all there supporting him. And staying a little bit extra late when he's trying to have the party. And there is a lot of that camaraderie there. And they know how much he misses Holly.
Yeah, it's really nice. I really like that angle to this episode. And I had thought, too, about what you said about when Michael is sad, it sort of puts him on a level that he's not normally on. Like, he's more subdued, but he's also more likely to actually connect with people. You know, we see Michael, I think a lot of the time Michael uses his humor, or what he thinks is his humor, sort of deflect from the fact that he's actually lonely and actually hurting. But when he opens himself up to it, he opens himself up to other people. And I think that's it's a very real thing that a bunch of people do. And I don't know, I just really like when we get to see this angle on the character.
Yeah, like when he was really sad during Survivor Man and he comes back and he has that connection with Jim because he's actually embracing that, like, he's really bummed he didn't get to go on the retreat. And that is another one of those moments where when he's sad and, like you said, he opens up his emotions, he can really connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we talk about the Vances and Jim and Pam?
Yeah. Yeah. So when Michael, Michael announces there's going to be a party because he wants to reconnect with the Blood Van lady. And it's like, oh, singles only, right? So Jim and Pam, they can't go. And, you know, they're excited that it's their Valentine's Day. They're engaged. And Phyllis is like, hey, why don't you come to lunch with us? And I love the little, it's kind of a throwaway line, but it's like, oh, we can take as long as we want because Michael is terrified of Bob.
Which is true because we saw that kind of at their wedding.
Yeah. Oh God, that episode.
Bob Vance of Vance Refrigeration, mm-hmm. Just to be clear.
Yes, that one.
Why don't you guys come have lunch with Bob and me? We'll take all afternoon. Michael is terrified of Bob.
What do you think?
I have a lot of work to do this afternoon. Mm. Those mines aren't going to sweep themselves.
So. We're in.
Phyllis loves to take long lunches, as we've seen a couple times, I think, already, or we're about to see later on. But they all go out to lunch together. And I love the weird, like, jokey couple conversation that they have, that, like, mm-hmm. few moments of that they show. It is so, you think it's going to be, like, silly, but then it's like they're getting along, but they're laughing. I don't know. Like, how did you... that really stood out to me of that, like, oh, hey, we are two couples. We don't really have much in common, but we're out together and we're just going to make this, like, weird dinner conversation because we're not actually close friends. We just kind of know each other.
Right. And I think Bob is the kind of guy who looks at the kind of guy Jim is. I don't want to say looks down on him, but, like, I think he thinks Jim is sort of a goofball or some sort of a, I don't know. I feel like Bob is sort of like from a different generation than Jim in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And so there's that angle. But yeah, I think it's mostly that, yeah, we kind of know each other, but we've never hung out in this sort of environment. Right? Like Jim and Phyllis at 10 feet away from each other, but going out with your significant others, like a restaurant, that's a different environment. And yeah, they sort of joke and kid. And then apparently they order, and we don't see this, but they get up and go to the bathroom, and they're gone. I think Pam says, like, 10 minutes, and, like, food has arrived, and that's just awkward, right? Like, you're just, like, waiting, and, like, did they dine and dash? Like, well, they didn't dine, like...
But Jim and Pam dine. They try it. They love that they're stealing food off of, mm-hmm. of their plates. Would you do that? Would you steal someone's food like that? Just, like, cover it up with some broccoli?
I think my wife maybe would. I don't think I would.
I don't know if I would steal someone's like a friend's plate. I don't know. It depends on how good of a friend.
Yeah.
Or if it's French fries. French fries are easy to eat.
It's true.
But that level of friendship, no, I wouldn't eat off of their plates. Mm. The level that Jim and Pam have with Bob and Phyllis, no.
But then we find out where they've gone.
Empty.
Mine too.
Oh, boy.
Oh my God.
Okay.
It's a thing.
Adult playtime.
That's right.
I feel like Phyllis is a different person when she gets a moment to, like, be herself. When she's a salesperson in the office, she's so subdued and quiet and, you know, the one-word phrases here and there. But when she really has a moment to be her, or, like, the center of attention for a minute, she really actually kind of embraces it. And we see that Phyllis has quite the, what's the word? Adventurous side? Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. Mm. She's quite adventurous. And yeah. It seems like her and Bob are a pretty great pair. They like to have some fun at lunch.
Yeah.
In a bathroom.
She also drinks an uncomfortable amount of water when they come back.
Yep. And Bob just goes right into that steak, and they try and have a conversation again. It's just so awkward.
Okay, then. So, where were we?
Bowling. Mm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, that's quite a Valentine's Day.
I guess so.
Yeah. I don't know much more to say about that.
I don't think there's anything else to say. Let's just move on.
Yep. Let's move on. So we could talk about the party that Michael decides to throw after meeting a lovely woman in the blood van and then having her disappear on him a little bit and leave behind a pink glove.
Pink glove. The Cinderella slipper, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this party he has reminds me of actually one of my favorite scenes in the whole series is the grief counseling thing from an earlier season where like the bird flies into the window and
we had a funeral for a bird.
That's right. Yeah.
Pretty sure none of that's real.
Michael tries to like get people to like share. And this is sort of in that same spirit. Like, hey, you know, share about a breakup or a bad relationship. And it kind of goes somewhere. And Oscar tells this story. And I love how Angela like really wants to know the details, but then also wants to appear proper. It's like, oh, no, I don't approve of anything, but please tell me the details. It's kind of a funny Angela moment.
Do you risk telling him how you feel? Do you say something that you can barely admit to yourself?
Oh, God, so what did you do? Right, not that I approve of any of it, but...
I was stupid. I told him.
Was he into you in, like, a gay way?
Moron. If he was, what? There wouldn't be a story.
We also find out that Angela has had two different sets of men duel over her.
Right.
My worst breakup was actually two breakups, two different men. I was in love with both of them, and when things went bad, they had a duel over me.
At Wedding Andy, we were here.
No, this was years ago when I was living in Ohio. John Mark and John David.
Angela, you had two sets of different men actually duel over you?
I guess I have.
So weird, like, this keeps happening to me.
I guess that's just the kind of woman Angela is. I don't know. It's always the quiet ones.
It's always the one who licked their cats on the webcam.
Oh, well, you know, she's into a little something. I don't know what. Oh, monkey.
We also see Kevin in this episode. We haven't really talked about Kevin yet.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the beginning, you know, he and Michael are on the elevator up. And Michael's like, hey, how you doing? Apparently, Kevin and Stacy have broken up. But then Mike, this is like kind of the one Michael-y line as well. You know, Holly was way hotter than Stacy, so you got to imagine how much I'm hurting. yeah. And Kevin agrees, because like, of course Kevin agrees. Right? Kevin's kind of skeevy. But we see Kevin like really hurting, right? And he tells a story about when they broke up, and then Michael sort of pivots the pity party into like, well, we're going to have a mixer, right? We're in this office park. They've got to be singles who work at these other companies. We're just going to have people come and he, you know, decides to match people up, and he matches a woman named Lynn with Kevin, and Kevin initially kind of blows it, right? Like, he brings up this broken engagement. It's sad to watch.
At the Circle Drive-In, they show old movies. It's really cool.
It does sound cool.
I used to go there with my fiance before she left me. No, I mean, before I left her, she left me.
Yeah, Kevin and Stacy's story, we don't really see much of what that actually is. Mm-hmm. And we only really hear about it. We see Stacy's daughter in Bring Your Daughter to Work Day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But other than that, we really don't see anything about Kevin's relationship. He barely talks about her. It's only mentioned a couple times. Maybe it's more like in the webisodes. I don't know. Everyone always brings up the webisodes and they're like, oh, this was in the webisode. I don't know. I don't like to add that in to the actual office lore because not everyone watched that. I don't know. I feel like what's in the show is in the show, right?
I agree.
And I wanted to point out, Stanley attends the Lonely Hearts meeting.
Yeah.
Hang out. I think it's probably for the cake.
He also falls asleep at the end. Like, when they all get up, he's asleep in a chair.
I mean, he's probably there just by default for some cake, because we know at the very, very end, he tries to steal cookies from the blood van, which is a funny little clip. him and Phyllis. But yeah, Stanley's there. I mean, he has more women he can handle. So, I mean, he really shouldn't be there.
What's one more, really?
He's greedy. He's greedy. That's what he is.
Leave some for the rest of us, Stanley.
I know, right?
These people need love, and I am going to get it for them.
And Michael eventually, he was like, you know what? We we shouldn't do this. We shouldn't sit around and talk about all the past. We should try and make things better and mm-hmm. have this mixer. And I really like that perspective. I like that he grabs onto the positive. I like that he's trying to turn it around. And the way that this party ends up going, even though they keep waiting for Michael's mystery woman to show up and she doesn't, I still like the attitude going into this party. It seems nice.
Yeah. And then Dwight is being very Dwight in it, right? Dwight also recently single. He views this as sort of something he has to do, right? Until the woman who comes in with Lynn.
Who looks a lot like Angela, by the way.
She does look a lot like Angela, but she is in a business where they need a lot of paper. And then he's like, oh yeah, it's time, right? And he turns it from a mixer to a sales opportunity.
So basically, the greater volume you decide to buy in, the greater discount we can give you.
Okay.
What's up?
Look, I'm gonna go.
Oh, before you go, I'd just love to get a firm commitment on this. You know, maybe sign.
Look, we already have a paper supplier.
Okay. Well, thanks for wasting my time tonight. Idiot. God. Hey.
You don't deserve her.
Thanks, Michael.
I don't know. I feel a little bit bad for Dwight because the woman that broke his heart is like right there, mm-hmm. like sitting across from him. We don't see Andy in this episode. He's off on one of his honeymoons.
That's right.
So he's not there to add to the tension of the scene. But we do get one little like camera shot of Dwight when I think Angela is telling her broken heart story and they pan over to Dwight for just a second. I think that that's a little bit sad that he is kind of has to be there and face that with her every day.
It is. And I think between Andy and Dwight, I think Dwight is hurt more, or at least we see it more in his character. And yeah, I can't imagine what that feel like to like hear this story and like, oh, great. She's going to like remind everybody what happened between us very publicly.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hear about the Ohio duel, which is, again, just... Wow, Angela.
So here's a little question. Do you think that they still have kind of a little thing going on?
I don't think so, but I think they still have feelings for each other. But I don't think they're running around at this point.
Right. Yeah, I don't think so either. But it frustrates me because it's like they're there together and I guess they're probably both still angry in different ways.
Yeah. But I think it's going to take some time to find their way back to each other.
This episode was pretty short.
Yeah, I think we've hit the high points. I think this is a nice episode because we kind of get a reminder of, we're kind of just like checking in on where everybody is.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to see where, like, this show, there's so many characters in this show that not everyone gets equal amount of time, but sometimes we get these episodes where, like, we get to touch a little bit on everybody. And even then, like you said, Andy's not even in it. The only time we really see or hear from Creed is when he's stealing a bag of blood at the very end of the episode.
Yep. Ryan is also gone. He's off in Thailand.
Yes. His heart and his body are in Thailand to Kelly's Kelly's dismay. Poor Kelly, right? She thought she was getting a Valentine's. It was a reminder from her dentist office.
Yeah, that's painful. I feel so bad for her.
Yeah.
Because she's one of those people that like really, really wants a relationship. And she just does not seem to be able to find a healthy one for herself. Like, mm-hmm. it's just not happening for her ever. It's so sad.
It is sad.
It's a little painful. Because I want her to be like, you know, you get to know all these characters and you want them all to be happy and to find somebody. Just like anytime you're watching like a TV show that has any kind of love story to it, you get attached to these people and you want them to find their happiness. And this episode really highlights how many of our characters are actually struggling to find that.
Yeah.
So I think that about wraps it up this week talking about the episode, but I do have a Dundee to give out.
Ooh.
Yep. So this week's Dundee, I'm going to call the Coinky Dink Award, and it goes to Sydney Close Up Magic Anderson. That's how she has it on Twitter. And that's Sid_Anderson on Twitter, which is kind of good because I kind of used an Andy type word for the award. I just noticed that. Bam.
Oh, yeah. No, it's You have a lot of synergy going on today, Tiff.
Oh, so much synergy in the parking lot. So for and this award is for tweeting at us about the joyful coincidence that her birthday was on the same day that we posted episode 82. It is your birthday.
It is your birthday.
Thanks for being a listener. And let us know on Twitter if you chose TV or nap. I'm very curious.
Yes, you got to pick the theme.
Yep. There's got to be a theme.
Yeah.
And you know what? They all say you see a theme, you don't hear a theme. Well, Sydney, why don't you get on up here and accept that Dundee?
Woo!
Congratulations. And we will be back talking about the next episode, which is Golden Ticket. And so we'll be back talking about that next time. And until then, please go over and follow us on Twitter at @tall_beats. Be sure to tweet at us funny things that you come across, cool things like Sydney's coincidence, or anything like that, so we can give out those Dundies. And you can also go and sign up to be an Incomparable member and go check out our awesome member special where we watch Threat Level Midnight and talk over it together, Stephen and I. And it's pretty fun. You should totally go check it out. You can get cool goodies at the end of the year too for being an Incomparable member. And until then, Stephen, I was gonna say something inappropriate, but nope, gonna take that one back. I don't know where to go with this whole episode. Like, the only jokes are really awkward. Yeah, it's sexy until it becomes hostile, really. That's what they, that Dwight said that. It's so sexy it becomes hostile.
Poor Angela.
No, poor Angela. She loves it.
I think we just have to go. I think we just have to go. We just have to
stop. That's it. That's it. I'm ending it there.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm going to be Cupid, and I'm going to shoot my sparrow at unsuspecting victims, and they are going to get hit and say, I'm in love. I was hit by Cupid's sparrow. Funny little bird, but he gets the job done.